bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Michael Danby is the federal member for Melbourne Ports for the Australian Labor Party. And Michael, good morning.
Morning, Dave and Taz. How are you?
Good, thank you. Michael, have you been confirmed as the member for Melbourne Ports?
No, I haven't. The Electoral Commission has taken a long time with my seat and all other seats. Probably won't be completed till next Friday, but I can report to you that I'm confident I'll beat the Greens at the penultimate exclusion, and our millionaire from East Melbourne at the final. But that won't happen formally till next week.
Okay. Now, look, there was a caucus meeting yesterday, and when I chatted with you earlier in the week, one of the issues we wanted to talk about is, what does this election result mean? You know, and let's work on the assumption that the coalition is going to fall or stumble over the line. What does this mean for plebiscite and for marriage equality first off? What's your take on it all after the meeting yesterday?
Well, all of your listeners should pay notice, and I'm sure you two will understand the importance of it, that Bill, in his acceptance speech and speech to the caucus, mentioned marriage equality as one of the issues that time has come, and that our new and large caucus would, a parliamentary party should support. So even during the week, my friend Don Farrell, who's one of the few who don't share that view, said that he thinks that this should be voted on, and that the party will abide by it, and that he supported the national policy. The important thing, guys, is there was in the last parliament, and there will be in the next parliament, the numbers to support this. But there are decent people in the Liberal Party. You know, Macker, I've never unnecessarily criticised them on this issue or other issues where there is bipartisan support for important mainstream Australian values. But the Senate is very interesting. I could see a coalition of Labor and the Independents for very different reasons opposing the plebiscite. It will depend on what the Greens do, whether we are forced to one or not. Now, this is a bit of brinksmanship, but I think this is something the LGBTQI community's got to think about. And that is, if the numbers can be assembled to oppose the plebiscite in the Senate, will Malcolm Turnbull then have the excuse to say, oh, look, I've got to legislate on this? That's an option that I canvassed before the election at the forum that we had with the other candidates, and it's something that I would strongly support. I do not favour having a divisive and expensive plebiscite on this issue in the wake of Orlando, in the wake of the division we've already seen in Australian politics during this election, with all kinds of populist right-wing groups off the leash, like Hanson, like Corey Bernardi, etc. So I can see the government will go down the plebiscite line. I could see it being blocked in the Senate if the Greens don't negotiate with the government and oppose the plebiscite, and for the same reasons that we do, and for the opposite reasons of what the group of fruit bats in the Senate Independents would oppose it for, and then we should go for it being legislated, because there are the numbers there, and we don't outsource, you know, every other important issue. This is ridiculous to spend, you know. Pricewaterhouse estimates it's $500 million, and the Liberals reckon themselves it's $160 million. What a waste of money when we know what the the Parliament already thinks.
Michael, what would the Labor Party do if the government, along with minority other groups, looked at passing legislation to support a plebiscite on the provision that its outcome was binding? I know a plebiscite's not binding, but let's assume that was the case.
Yeah, well, the plebiscites can't be binding. I mean, they're
I understand that.
You're morally obliged to pass it. But Taz, I think the first option has to be is those of us who support marriage equality have to fight the possibility of this plebiscite. It is so dangerous. What will happen if it's defeated? Referendums have been defeated. We've got some popular support for it now, but there are many referendums, including the Republic referendum that I remember well, that people vote against for all kinds of reasons, because of the cost of them, because all the things that have not to do with the content. Parliament is elected to decide these kind of things. We've just had an election. And there's a majority of people on both sides if we have a free vote.
It's possible that critics would argue that a plebiscite is again another step closer towards achieving marriage equality. So if that's an argument that's put forward, would Labor consider opposing it again?
Well, I would be opposed to it for the reasons that I said, not because I'm opposed to marriage equality,
yes,
but because I think this is a divisive...
No, in fact, you announced your support for marriage equality on this very show.
On this show, yeah.
Yeah, I did. And it's now become clear to me that this is sort of for the majority of people in the community, something that is, iconic for them. And it's very discriminatory not to proceed with it. Look, ultimately, if there is a plebiscite, of course I will vote in favour of it and urge people to do the same thing. But I think there is a possibility of legislating it. And if there is, we ought to try and go for that option by forming a bloc in the Senate, including with the right-wing senators who will oppose it because they don't support marriage equality, to oppose a plebiscite and legislate it. I think if we give Malcolm Turnbull the option of not having a plebiscite by having it defeated in the Senate, Labor, the Greens, the Independents, then there is a chance of it being legislated. Mm-hmm. I'm very worried about Senator Di Natale's announcement made just before the elections, which barely no one noticed, but was reported very well in the Financial Review, that he is willing to negotiate with the government on the plebiscite. Now, their negotiations with the government have resulted in them losing a senator and not making any gains. But who knows what they will do with this issue? I sort of urge my friends, including you two on this program, to make everyone have a vote in the Senate to have it legislated first. Do things sequentially. If it comes to a plebiscite, we'll all have to throw our weight behind it and support it. But the correct way to go, the non-discriminatory way to go, is to have it legislated and voted on by the Australian Parliament.
Which, of course, was when the Marriage Act was changed under the Howard government. They didn't think there was a need for a plebiscite.
No.
Sorry to say it, but to Labor's shame, they supported that legislation. I'll never forgive Nicola Roxon for that. Never.
Well, she's been long out of it. But all I can say is we don't
and good
have
riddance.
Votes on the $12 billion for submarines built in South Australia. We don't have votes on not paying rebates to doctors are going to force up Medicare bills. Why this one? Decided this one has got to go to through all of these hoops?
Oh, it was a delaying tactic. We know that.
It was a delaying tactic, and it's shameful that Turnbull's gone along with it in order to appease appease Abbott. Let him appease Abbott and Co. and Erica Betts in other ways, but not. It shouldn't be at the price of scarring, particularly young people in the LGBTQI community, with you know the acrimony that will come inevitably. Do you think if we give tens of millions of dollars to Pauline Hanson and Corey Bernardi, they're not going to be nasty during this campaign, that they're going to play to lose?
Guaranteed. And, you know, the government could do everyone a favour. They could actually send Erica Betts as the High Commissioner to London. Imagine that. Actually, no, Germany would be better. Send him as the ambassador.
Oh, how about German Congo?
Yes. Look, it's a really important issue, Michael, and as you know, the LGBTI community has a very, very diverse view on this. There are even some people in our community, and I acknowledge that don't support marriage equality. But I say to them, you don't have the right to deny me the right to get married. And
look, that's what's clear, guys, isn't it? That sort of this has become, particularly to younger people, an iconic issue of discrimination or not, and it affects them that they can't do what other people do, and therefore they, you know, whether being married is all that joyful for everyone in all circumstances is a separate issue. The point is that people feel that discrimination, and the fact that they feel it is something that we need to address.
And, you know, I always say to members of Parliament, particularly those that have been married more than once, don't deny us. You've done it a few times. We should be allowed to do it at least once.
Michael, thank you very much for coming on here this morning. It's great to great to continue to have this conversation. And obviously, this show and this station will continue to have the spotlight on marriage equality. Have a great day.
Let's keep talking about it. And I'm very pleased that, you know, I'm close to Bill on this issue, that he's pushed it so hard too, and that he raised it in that speech.
Yes,
thank you.
I agree. Michael Danby,
thanks.
Federal Member for Melbourne
Ports. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.